Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm your host, Tim Healy, and this is the show dedicated to the makers and shakers of business today. So that's why I'm inviting you to join me each and every week as we tackle all topics from sales and marketing to entrepreneurship and beyond right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So get on board so together we can create big-time profits for your business. Welcome aboard, everybody. Now, remember to stay tuned for the bottom line benefit. You know, each week I have an expert offering their insight into the latest and greatest in finance, IT, marketing, and accounting. And I'd like you to think of the bottom line benefit as 5 minutes of action-packed nuggets of money-making genius that you get to apply to your bottom line. And today's feature will be with Paul Trapani. He's the CEO of the XT Group, and they're an IT consulting, web development, and computer support company. And Paul will be sharing his thoughts and insights on the impact of the iPad on businesses. So it's going to be certainly an interesting segment. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned for the bottom line benefit at about 6:50 this evening. Now, I work hard each week to bring you the best authors, the best experts and entrepreneurs in business as a way to inspire you, my listeners, on your own way to achieving huge selling success. Well, today I am proud to say I'm delivering big time on my mission, because today's guest is none other than mega best-selling business author and guru Harvey McKay. That's right. Harvey will be sharing real-world, road-tested selling advice from his latest book, The McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. So today's show is must listen to, and it's must earn from radio right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Now, since we're about 2 weeks from the blank slate of a new selling year, I thought who better to share some time with than Harvey McKay. Now, in my opinion, the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World is, as are all of Harvey's books, must reads for anyone who calls themselves a sales pro. Now, the matter of the fact may be you may be ending 2011 with one of your best years ever. You may be crossing the finish line in some pretty good shape, or you might be in the frame of mind that you cannot wait for 2011 to be a distant memory in your rearview mirror. So tonight on the Profit Express is your chance to build on that great momentum. Or maybe it's going to give you the opportunity to re-energize yourself, or maybe it can give you a chance to just blow up that mindset and start from scratch in 2012. Now, Harvey has essentially compiled decades of experience and tried and true strategies to help you reach your real selling potential. Which actually leads me to this question for you, my listener. What is your real selling potential? That's the question for today. What is your real selling potential as we are, you know, right on the crux of starting 2012 in a new blank slate for selling opportunity? Now, the idea came for me from chapter 15 in Harvey's book. And he shared a story about George Bernard Shaw, and it went like this. A reporter interviewed George shortly before his death and asked, "Mr. Shaw, you've visited with some of the most famous people in the world. You've known royalty, world-renowned authors, artists, teachers, and dignitaries from every part of the world. If you could live your life over and be anyone you've known or any person from history, whom would you choose to be?" And Shaw replied, "I would choose to be the man George Bernard Shaw could have been, but never was." Wow, that got me thinking. So if after my conversation with Harvey tonight, you, me, and everyone listening can at least explore and push the envelope of our own selling potential, then today's show is going to be a grand slam, folks. And in my eyes, the ideas in Harvey's books are about as good as any source out there to help you on your selling journey in 2012. And some of the ideas we will explore will cover everything from visualizing success to quitters never win, the 10,000-hour investment, the psychology of a slump, and Think big to sell big, to name a few. So it's time to introduce today's guest. And again, he's Harvey McKay, best-selling author of seven New York Times bestsellers. His books have sold over 10 million copies worldwide, have been translated into 42 languages and distributed to 80 countries. And Harvey is the chairman of McKay Mitchell Envelope Company. It's a $100 million company that he founded at the age of 26. And today's book, I'm happy to announce, the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World, is in the first 10 days, went to the number one on the Wall Street Journal, number two on USA Today. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Harvey McKay.
Tim, thank you very much for those kind words. I've really been looking forward to this interview. Thanks again.
Well, you know what? I am honored to have you on, and I've gotten a ton of feedback from the listeners, from the fans. They are just thrilled that you're willing to share some time with us tonight on the Profit Express.
Well, again, I appreciate it. Incidentally, I wrote Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive. Many of your listeners would be familiar with that.
Sure.
And that's what started me on this long 24-year stint. So my seventh book, proud that I just finished a 30-city book tour in the last 33 days. I should mention that book you're holding is Money Back Guarantee on the last page. Just a quick aside, I had a 3-week World War III fight with my publisher going back in 1988 when I wrote Swim with the Sharks, and I prevailed. I was the first author, I think, in the U.S. to ever say Money Back Guarantee. 5 million copies sold Swim with the Sharks. 28 people asked for their money back. All right, 7 of them were my best friends.
I guess they want to test the money back guarantee if it actually worked.
I think they wanted to keep me humble or anything. But anyway, there's a, I should say right at the top here for all your listeners, I like to deliver more than I promise. That's actually a subtitle on one of my books. And if I may just mention right now, anyone that's going to buy this book, just word of honor, if they're going to buy it, they can go right to HarveyMackay.com/bonus, and that's MACKAY, and they will be delivered a book within 10 to 12 days from me personally on networking. The only networking book you'll ever need, and in there is a 20-page chapter on an MBA speech I gave at Harvard, which is reprinted, and you can't find that anywhere else, and you can't find this particular book anywhere else other than getting it directly from me. So that's gratis, free, on the house, and happy to do it.
Well, hey, that's a great offer for the listeners. Thank you so much. It's a great way to start an interview, by the way. Thank you, Harvey. So are you ready to get into the meat and potatoes of this book? Because I know I am.
I'm sorry, pardon me?
Are you ready to get into the
I sure am. Sure am. And I'll tell you what, you know, you took the bat right out of my hand. There's 70,000 words in there, and you nailed it. So if I can please build on your story, okay, on George Bernard Shaw, because it is, I can't get over you did this, but it is, if you said, Harvey, we're in a rush. We got 3 minutes, 2 minutes. That's it. Good luck. Well, here it is, if I can talk about it, and build on that story. Practice, this is the second or third chapter in the book, practice makes perfect, not true. You have to add one word. Perfect practice makes perfect. Practice something time and time again. If you don't know what you're doing, all you're really doing is perfecting an error. You put a ceiling on how good you can become. There's 20 million golfers out there in the U.S. I can tell you, you can play 8 days a week. You can practice 8 days a week. If you got a loop in your swing, what are you doing? You're perfecting an error.
Right.
You put
right.
a ceiling.
Right.
So therefore, I've mentored approximately 500 people in my career, still mentoring many right now, actually 25 people at one time. And I can tell you what I teach. I teach them the following. I tell them, first of all, I have a speech coach. I have a writing coach. I've got a marathon coach. I've run 5 New Yorks and Bostons and all that. I've got a language coach. Study Russian, Chinese, Arabic. I have a social media coach. I have a golf coach, tennis coach, dancing coach. Well, that's because of my wife. But skiing coach, memory coach. Working in New York City 2 weeks ago with my memory coach. And I want to tell you, why do I do this? And here's the key. Here, every listener, if they're taking notes, whatever my God-given potential is, whatever my God-given talent is, that's it. Tim, I can't do any better. Right, I make a decision. Doesn't matter what it is I'm going to accomplish. All right. I go get the best people, the best coaching I can get. I'm making an investment in myself. I'm not spending a single penny. All right. I set a time and action calendar. A goal is a dream with a deadline. Try my guts out, and that's it. I don't worry about anything. I can't do anymore. So that's one of the gists of the book.
One of the, I mean, I started in the intro, I spoke about George Bernard Shaw, but you also shared the story of having heard Viktor Frankl speak a number of years ago.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, he was a renowned psychologist before being thrown into the Nazi concentration camp. Tell the listeners how he used the power of visualization to not only survive, but to succeed.
Well, there's a man by the name of Viktor Frankl who owes his life to his ability to project himself. He was a renowned Viennese psychiatrist before the Nazis threw him into a concentration camp. I heard him speak years ago, and he held us completely spellbound. Look, he said, there's only one reason why I'm here today. What kept me alive in a situation where others had given up hope and died was the dream that someday I'd be here telling you how I survived the Nazi concentration camp. Never been here before, never seen any of you before, never given this speech before. But in my dreams, I stood before you in this room and said these words 1,000 times. And I learned visualization playing golf at the University of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I remember the coach telling me as if it were yesterday. I was playing the NCAA championships, Lafayette, Purdue, my sophomore year, going up against, for those of you that are golfers, Don January, Billy Maxwell, Ken Venturi. Just incredible players. And guess what he taught me? When they announce your name on that first tee, okay, you visualize, you know, that you're up, now you have to hit your first drive.
Right.
You visualize the sight of that ball. You hear the click in your mind. You see the ball landing way out there. You know, in those days, it was only 250 yards. Today, it's 310.
Right.
But that visualization, when I wrote Swim with the Sharks, I started visualizing I'd be #1 New York Times bestseller. So I visualized it. I put a little note in my cap, my hat. We used to wear hats, of course, many, many years ago. You know, and boom, I put it on the dashboard of my car. I will be a New York Times bestseller. Every day I shaved for a year, I visualized
it,
wrote it down, memorized it, and, well, for 54 weeks, I was #1 on the New York Times bestseller list. Again, not being self-serving or braggadocio, but trying to talk about principles that really, truly do work.
Well, I mean, think of the power it had for Viktor Frankl and getting himself through a concentration camp, and what could that do for your golf game, for you know, being a best-selling author or for your sales career?
Surely. I wrote the book over 3.5 years, and I don't remember his name, but there's a story, a golf story in there about a fellow in prison. Okay, and I don't remember the dimensions, but boy, it was solitary confinement. And I think it was 6 years. And he was a 20 handicapper, which means he shot around 90, 95 was his average. And every single day, what did he do? He practiced every single shot in his mind. He played the golf course over and over and over and over again for 6 years, and he got out. And what did he do? He shot in the 70s as soon as he came out of prison.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's a true story.
It's amazing. It absolutely is. Now, as I mentioned, you know, you're the chairman of your own envelope company, McKay Mitchell, and you had this story when you first started selling envelopes back in the day. You asked one of the old veterans, this guy named Sid. You said,
Mr. I think Carpenter, yeah.
You asked him, you said, hey, Sid, let me ask you a question.
My favorite, I don't know what you're doing there. You're going to get an A-plus on your final exam, I'll tell you that.
Who, me?
Yeah, well, you're picking out the
book,
three best stories in the whole book that I love.
These are great. Hey, in my opinion, it's a great book. That's why I'm having you on. I mean, I don't have to sell Harvey McKay, that's for sure, but this book got me going. I didn't just go to the fluff. I went right to the meat and potatoes. I'm not kidding here. So then there's a grizzled veteran, Sid, and you asked him as a great question. You said, hey, Sid, how many times do you call on a prospect before you give up? And Sid's response is, and I loved it, he says, it depends on which one of us dies first.
and I'll tell you the background of that story. I'm 21 years old, graduated from the University of Minnesota, kind of cocky, think I knew it all, had chapped lips from kissing the mirror too much, wanted to start at the top and work up. No, I mean, I really thought I knew it all when I got out of college.
Right.
And I had nothing but problems selling. I was selling envelopes, which is the business I'm in today and the business I founded. But anyway, selling envelopes, and I had all kinds of problems. And then my dad told me every company has an old grizzly. Go ask him for advice. So I did. So I'm sitting there 7 a.m. in the morning, and in came Mr. Carpenter, and boom, there it was. I asked him how long they call that prospect. And I'll tell you, there's no substitute for persistence. And I should also set the table a little bit, because, you know, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Still have trouble spelling the word.
That's all right. You don't have to.
but that's what I wanted to be. And I just want to make a statement to everybody out there. I think that the entrepreneur and the salesperson, okay, is the most unsung person in the entire business community. Because guess what? There are no businesses. There are no factories unless someone brings the business through the front door.
That's right.
And you know what small business is, and the percentage of employment and all that. I'm sure our audience knows too. You know, it's way off the charts up in the 70s and 80% of employment. So here's what I believe very strongly. Every entrepreneur, every person, every listener, this very nanosecond is a salesperson, whether they like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the moment they get up in the morning till the moment they go to bed, what are they doing? They're negotiating. They're communicating. They're persuading. They're influencing. And if you're not a good salesperson, then guess what? Then you're being taken advantage of all day long. So
you're 100% right. And people need to embrace that. Not enough people do.
Well, sales is a dirty word. You know,
yes.
Salesperson.
Yes.
I get to speak 24 years in a row since when the Sharks came out, once a week to a Fortune 1000 company somewhere in the world, but I also speak to many small and medium-sized businesses too. And that's India, Pakistan, Burma, China, you name it. And everywhere I go, we don't have salespeople. We have account executives. We have consultants.
Right.
We have advisors.
Right.
And guess what? Age 26, I started McKay Envelope Company, which was then merged a few years back to McKay Mitchell. And I'm still running the company, still active. But guess what I had at age 26 when I became president and founder of my own company? Harvey McKay, not president and founder, envelope salesman. I was proud of it.
Right.
And every person in sales should be proud of it. And that's why it's the highest price without profession in the country. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. It's rat-eat-rat. It's shark-eat-shark. and I want to tell you, it's take the business away from somebody else. I mean, what are we doing right now in this economic tsunami time? And I'm still very optimistic. We're hiring salespeople. Because we need sales.
You can never find enough of the right salespeople.
No, never.
You can't.
Never. You see, our door's open for, we have a 35-person sales force. If a man or, you know, male or female walks into my office tomorrow morning and he or she is good, and I mean really good, guess what? We put them on the payroll. Even
of
if
course.
We don't need them.
Of course, yeah. Of course, yeah. You
we have an open door policy looking for salespeople. These are stars in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where I'm calling from. Yeah, over a long period of time, I want to tell you, it is really terrific. You see, the reason why there are very few people in sales, I mean, people don't like to go, and there's a lot of salespeople, but people don't like to, is because of rejection, which then leads to failure. My best friend in the whole world is Lou Holtz. I'm a lucky guy, Notre Dame coach, Hall of Fame, ESPN. We're joined at the hip. We talk every day. And he taught me that he's never met a successful person that hasn't had to overcome either a little or a lot of adversity in his or her life. And you see, the rejection's a part of life. You can't avoid it. But you can let it go, Tim. you can't let the fear of rejection paralyze you from the start.
Absolutely.
So what I teach people, and mentor people in our 35-person sales force is, you know, number one, when you get that rejection, don't take it personally. Rejection lasts only a moment. You can't sell everyone. Don't wallow in it. I wrote a book called We Got Fired, and it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yes.
I interviewed 28 superstars. Lou Holtz, of course, was one of them. He was fired at Arkansas. Interviewed Mayor Bloomberg. He was fired at Salomon Brothers and persons like that. And the one common denominator of the whole book is that you have to analyze your failure, analyze your adversity, your rejection, and you learn something from it. That's what all 28 of them said. And then here's a little trick that I do with all our people. If we lose, if we're working on a big contract and we lose, and of course second is last out there in the marketplace, as you know, so you can have six bidders, what good does it do to come in second? But we send our people back. We send them back. We want constant, immediate, unfiltered feedback from our customers. And, of course, I want that from my readers and so forth.
Yeah, but you know what's funny?
So you know what that means, Tim?
What's that?
If you turned me down, you got it, and you had five bids, and I didn't get the order, I'll double back 2-3 weeks later and say, Tim, can you help me? I just want to know, okay, was I a good listener? Didn't I have enough product knowledge?
Right. But people are afraid to ask those questions, RV.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
I mean, we're so afraid to examine and to learn from the failures in sales and business. There's so much in this book, and we have such a short period of time, Harvey. It's killing me here. There's something you mentioned that I would love for you to chat a little bit about. It's called the 10,000-hour investment.
Mm-hmm. Joey. Well, all you have to know is, in order to become proficient at everything, you heard me say earlier, I wanted to start at the top and work up. I mean, I probably didn't hit my stride, okay, until 10,000 hours. Was in on selling envelopes and learning, and that comes from the good to great, okay? Jim's book, who just, I mean, if you just, well, it's in the book there somewhere, but get this. this is not a typo.
Right.
The Beatles performed 1,400 times before anybody heard them, basically. And they hit it big.
Yes.
And you can go back over and over and over again. So that's the 10,000 hours. That's the persistence that you have to have. Depends on which one of us dies first. You have to have that attitude. Your attitude determines your altitude.
Exactly.
And of course, Tim, I love to use aphorisms. And why do I? Because every chapter has a McKay's moral. I have to make up an aphorism.
Right.
I do write a national syndicated column. It's been out there 19 years, once a week, still writing it. Goes to 10 million newspapers. That's 100 different cities. And every column I write, I say McKay's moral. I come up with an aphorism. And I paste these all over the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
I've got them everywhere, you know, looking at them all the time. But it is true. If you just adapt or adopt 4-5 principles and keep repeating them over and over and over to yourself and live by those guidelines, I mean, that's just terrific.
And
incidentally,
so,
I just made one up for my what's going to be on my tombstone. You want to hear it?
I would. Well, I don't want to be morose about it, but I would love to. Hear
no,
it.
No. I mean, you know, I joke about it, but I just thought of it 3 months ago.
Let's hear it.
He couldn't sleep fast enough. I mean, I don't want to go to sleep.
Right.
That's the truth. I'm afraid I'll miss something. I think I was born excited.
You have to be. I mean, you know, doing what you've been doing for 24 years straight, you have to have that kind of passion and focus. And folks, you're listening to The Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. And today we really have a fantastic guest with us. And of course, he is none other than Harvey McKay, best-selling author. And he's here talking about the McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. And in the first 10 days, it's gone to number 1 on the Wall Street Journal, number 2 on USA Today. And I know for so many of my listeners out there, whether you're entrepreneurs, whether you're sales professionals, you know what? We got about a couple of weeks left in 2011. What's going to happen is going to happen, but we have the blank slate going ahead, and that's 2012. And today is getting you to think about what is your real selling potential. And I thought, who better to have on, of course, than Harvey McKay. And again, Harvey, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
You're welcome. A little suggestion. If they happen to buy the book, please, I don't want anyone to read it. Please don't read my book. I want you to study it, underline it, highlight it, use post-it notes, rough it up. Then you'll have your MBA in the real world.
That's what I've done with the copy I have right here in the studio with me now, and it's one of the only books that has the money-back guarantee, which, of course, publishers hate, but that's another story. I think too many salespeople, from my perspective, they set low expectations for themselves. And I'm reminded of that math teacher that you quoted in the book who told an assembly of seniors, and this is a math teacher telling his students, I hope you fail, because if you don't, you haven't set your goals high enough. Why is goal setting and creating strong, powerful expectations, why is it so big?
Well, for those not in their cars taking notes, a goal is a dream with a deadline. I want to repeat that.
Yeah.
A goal is a dream with a deadline. Measurable, identifiable, attainable, all right, in writing. Pale ink is better than the most retentive memory, which means write your goals down, short-term and long-term, and then look at them. I mentioned Lou Holtz. It's in the story. It's in the book there somewhere. I don't know where. Mm-hmm. Holtz, when he was a kid, wrote down in his 20s, 106 goals. 106 goals. He wanted to be a football coach. He wanted to go to the White House. He wanted to win the national championship. He wanted to be on Johnny Carson. I called him up, as I say every day, but this is a couple of years ago. How you doing? He said, number 87. I said, what? He said, number 87. I just jumped out of an airplane. Now, that was his 87th goal. Now, here's what's important, what every listener has to understand. What do you think Lou Holtz is going to do when he achieves all 106 goals? He's doggone right. He's going to write down another 106. You can't hit anything unless you take aim, and you have to have that goal. It's just terrific. Do we have time for a Jack Kemp story?
Do we have time for
because
a Jack
Because it sits
Kemp
right
story?
In here in confidence and goals and
if,
all that.
If you, let's hear a Jack Kemp
it's
story.
Like very, very, very succinctly, but it ties into what we're talking about. Jack
sure.
Kemp, 20 years in Congress approximately, vice presidential candidate with Bob Dole. Very, very, very good friend of mine. In fact, he told me this story at 35,000 feet when he was running for vice president. 35,000 on Air Force Two was the airplane we're traveling on. And he said the following. He went to Occidental College, quarterback. His dream was to play in the NFL. Had no chance at all his junior year. Had a horrible year. Coach called him in, all right, 4 weeks before the season started, before practice opened up, all right, his senior year. Closes the door, says to Kemp, you're my man. You're my go-to guy. I'm counting on you. I've got confidence in you. You're the leader. Now, every year I call in one player, and I tell him that. You keep that to yourself. You can't miss. He says he almost ran, almost broke the door down to get out of there. He was so charged up. He had a banner senior year. Guess what? 4 weeks after, 4 weeks after the season finished, he found out the coach called in 10 other players and told them the same thing.
Wow.
Now that's what confidence can do. See? So when people don't set goals high enough, that's what when you're confident, when you're prepared to win. Again, I'll tell you what, 7 books I've written 490,000 words in 7 books. And I can tell you the underlying theme is 3 words. Prepare to win. Boring. I mean, who's going to buy a book, Prepare to Win? Would you buy a book, Swim with the Sharks, without being eaten alive, or Prepare to Win? All right? But that's what it is. It's doing your homework. You don't go to school once for a lifetime. You're in school all of your life.
You speak about confidence. We were just speaking about confidence and how important it is. But I love the fact that as much as you spoke about confidence and having the right attitude and being positive, you also spoke about better humble than stumble. And it's kind of balancing that.
Yes, very, 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 very. It sure is.
I got to share that quote with your wife, Carol Ann. Do you mind if I share that one?
Which quote?
This is great. I loved it. Apparently, obviously everybody knows you've been speaking out there. You've been on the speaking
tour
for years.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Absolutely, in the car on the way home. Go ahead.
Yeah, and she had heard one of the speeches you gave.
Yep.
And you knew that she was one of your harshest critics, and you felt you delivered a great speech. And there were a whole bunch of other people who had talked and given presentations. In the car ride home, you turned to Carol Ann, your wife, and you asked your sweetheart, "How many great speakers do you think there are in the world today?" And she smiles and replies to you, "One fewer than you think, dear."
Yeah.
And so I love that.
You know what? She went to Northwestern as a journalism major, and tell you what, she's really tough. Yeah, she's very, very tough.
but you know what? It is so important because a lot of us in sales are A-type personalities, and we laugh at that. But it is smart keeping yourself humble. I think it keeps yourself curious and still working hard and still fighting.
You have to. Yeah, there's a very, very fine line. Can't come into a room and say, "Hey, here I am."
Right. Exactly. The balance. That's why I'm glad you brought it up.
Let me ask you, Tim. Can we mention one more time to get that book from me if they're.
Sure.
If they intend the book?
Absolutely.
Harvey Mackay, MACKAY.com/bonus. And it's a networking book. I think it's the only networking book they'll need. But anyway, it's got some wonderful concepts in there. And if you go get 100 successful people right now, men and women, in the country, in a room, and go interview them one at a time, how did you become successful? And success means not more. I'm going to talk about money. Talk about money and happiness, okay? How did you become successful? I think 90 out of 100 would tell you building a network. The network is crucial. It's critical. And it's never too late to start. My father got a hold of me and said, "Every person you meet the rest of your life," and incidentally, my father was a national syndicated columnist also, headed the Associated Press for the better part of 30, 35 years in St. Paul, Minneapolis. But he said, "Every person you meet the rest of your life goes in the Rolodex pile, a little bit about them on the back of the card."
Yep.
And now he said, "Here's the key. Find a creative way to stay in touch."
That's the tricky part.
Find a creative way to stay in touch.
Harvey, do you have a second to stick around? We can take one of those quick
breaks. Let me just see. I'm going to hold on. Let me look at my watch. Yes, I certainly do. I'll be happy to. I'm going to a nice black tie event tonight, but I'm okay.
We'll get right back to you. We'll take a quick station break right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU.
Now, back to the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. Once again, here is your host, Tim Healy.
Hello, and welcome back to the Profit Express. I'm your host, Tim Healy. And this, of course, is the show dedicated to the makers and shakers of business today. And today we are talking about and asking the question, what is your real selling potential? And we're just about wrapping up 2011, and we have a blank slate of a whole new selling year just at our doorstep. That's 2012. And for all of you entrepreneurs out there, for all of you sales professionals out there, I thought, what better way to get the juices flowing, to start thinking about questioning what is our real selling potentials out there? And I thought, who better to have on than Harvey Mackay? And it's been such a pleasure. It's been a great conversation so far, Harvey. Thanks so much for being on board.
Well, yeah, I certainly appreciate it very much. And you got a large audience, and I salute and applaud the success you've had in the past too, as as the people that arranged this for me told me. So they say you're the best of the best. That's what they told me.
I think this is a mutual admiration society. This is fantastic. No, thank you. I really mean that. And coming from you, of course, that's fantastic to hear. And of course, we're talking about Harvey's latest book, The McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World, which in the first 10 days, went to number one, The Wall Street Journal, number two, USA Today. So congratulations, Harvey.
Yeah, don't forget that New York Times.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
All I had to do was compete with Steve Jobs and President Clinton and Tom Friedman, who was a buddy of mine, not a buddy, but a friend.
Right.
The New York Times and all that. So I'm kind of proud to crack the top 10.
They've got nothing on you, let me tell you that. We got a few more minutes left. There's a few key questions I really would like to ask. You know, obviously, you're the chairman of your own envelope company. You've been doing this for decades. As you look at a salesperson, whether he's one that works for you or just one that you come across at a seminar, for example, what's the one biggest mistake people make in sales?
Well, I would say they do not humanize their selling strategy. When I got out of school, I was calling on 300 accounts. I called on 300 accounts for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And people even today, see, they'll go Google, okay, the company, XYZ company they're going to call on, and they think they know something then, which is wonderful, mm-hmm. okay, about the business, about the industry. You have to. That's the good old prepare to win.
Right.
But what they miss, what 90% and maybe 95% of the country misses, and everybody in sales, they don't CAT scan the customer, which is so very, we MRI and CAT scan every customer. You wouldn't believe how much we know about our customers. The IRS wouldn't believe how much we know about our customers. And we want to know, based on routine conversation and observation, what a customer is like as a human being.
Right.
What he or she feels strongly about.
Right.
What he's most proud of having achieved. Any status symbols in his or her offices. So in other words, we want to know what turns that human being on. Every study known to mankind, you cannot talk business 100% of the time.
No.
It's 30, 40% business and 60% social. So, Tim, if you're an HR person and I'm applying for a job, human resource director, or I want to sell you envelopes and I make a call on you, there are no cold calls at our company. I'll go to the invisible web, which is a whole chapter in the book, which is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I can find out, there's 310 million living Americans. I can find out every person I call on, whether he or she is a Democrat, Republican, Independent, if they're a golfer, their golf scores, the golf courses they play at, where they live, their home. I can find out about the money they give to charity. All these things I can find out just to find a common denominator. Now, this is not unethical.
No.
This is not illegal or anything. It's out there. There's information out there, and so why not take advantage of that? So that's why you humanize your selling strategy. Know the company, but way more important, know the person. When you call on a buyer, a purchasing manager, whatever, read the desk, read the walls. You can't work at McKay Envelope Company unless you read upside down. I'm just kidding.
I would, you know, although I wouldn't. I believe if you said that, though, I have to be honest. You might test your salespeople to see if they can read upside down.
Well, you know, they're going to. It's half joking, but you know, when sometimes people leave things around on the desk, I mean, you know, it's their fault, not yours. So,
sure.
So that's the number one mistake that the salespeople make. And then I think for all the people out there that are, and this is crucial. Anybody that's taken a selling job now, and I know you've got a young audience too, you've got a beautiful mix, but anybody that started in the last 1, 2, 3, 4 years, there's only two words that I know of in the English language, okay, that really count when you get started, and it's called all in, which means the difference between 100% all in and 99% all in is 100%. You have to be committed.
Right.
The 10 most powerful two-letter words in the English language, if it is to be, it is up to me. You have to ignite your own passion.
I like that.
Yeah. And so therefore, make that commitment, you know, if you're going into sales, if you're going to open up your own shop, if you're going to try to become an entrepreneur, all in. Write those words down.
Harvey, I have one more question I'd love to ask you. And again, thank you so much for spending your time and sharing your time with us on the Profit Express today. What's the one idea? Because I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, but I always like to think of the new year as a blank slate in sales. Okay, no matter what happened in 2011, we're starting fresh and we can just knock the ball out of the park. So what's the one idea, the one strategy you'd like to share with my listeners as they ready themselves for what could be unlimited selling potential waiting for them in 2012?
Well, a lot of people probably disagree with me, but I'm going to surprise them and shock them, but I'll tell them why. And that would be volunteerism. Volunteerism has changed my life. My father pushed me over the cliff, again, age 21. He said, Harvey, 25% of your life is going to be devoted to volunteerism. I don't even have a job yet. I wasn't even selling envelopes yet. I sold envelopes for 5 years and then started my own company. But here is the key, all right? The key is that no matter what nonprofit that you're going to volunteer for, they have three problems. Number one, money. Number two, money. Number three, money. You'll have to be out there raising money. You'll be knocking on doors. You'll be making maybe a couple phone calls. But guess what you become now when you're raising money for something that you're passionate about? You become a better salesperson. Because you get a lot of rejection out there, right? Asking for money. And so now you can handle it. You become way better manager, a better leader, a better communicator. And then above all, you feel better about yourself. And then, if you want a PS, you're building a network. I've mentored hundreds and hundreds of people. I've had people come in my office, they go volunteer, and they wound up working corporately for that particular company.
Yeah.
Happened about a half a dozen times.
Well, it's a beautiful opportunity to network.
So that is a nice thing to do as a New Year's resolution. I think, which is just terrific. It's just one idea. And then I guess another, real quickie. Our lives basically change in two ways. The books we read and the people we meet. And go get, forget, you know, you don't have
that
to buy my book.
That was Charlie Tremendous Jones, right?
They don't have, pardon me?
Charlie Tremendous Jones.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, you took the words right out. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going to come get around.
Sorry,
very
about
good
that.
Friend.
Yeah. No, I love that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Very. No, that's right. I was going to just talk about him, but you know, where did I learn that? But anyway, Charlie Tremendous. He did pass away a few years ago.
Yeah.
And just was tremendous at philosophy and sales and an outlook on life and anyway. So that's really important. Go get those books. Okay, doesn't have to be my book. Get those self-help books. Don't read them. Study them.
Right.
And every year, pick them up. And then the last part, if I can just switch gears for a minute.
Sure.
If you can try to live your life this way for 3 to 6 months, believe me, you might stay with it the rest of your life. I say try it. Give it a chance. You'll like it. And that is as follows. Reciprocity. This is my whole being. Reciprocity without keeping score. If I meet you on the street and I say, hi, my name's Harvey, hi, Tim, you introduce yourself to me, right to my brain bank, I say, what can I do for Timmy? That's what I say. What can I do for you? And expect nothing in return.
Right.
And if you live your life that way, you won't believe what will happen to you over a long period of time.
Well, hey, you know what? You're a living example of it.
Well, I appreciate that.
You really are. I mean, thank you so much for taking the time today. Congratulations on the great news about your latest book, The McKay MBA of Selling in the Real World. Number one, Wall Street Journal. Number two, USA Today, New York Times. First 10 days. I mean, you're just knocking out of the park, Harvey.
Yeah, and I hope your listeners will go to harveymckay.com/bonus. Hope they pick up the book.
Happy
New Year to everyone and happy holidays.
Harvey, thank you so much for spending time on the Profit Express today.
Fine, Tim. Look forward to it. We'll do it on the paperback.
You got it. We'd love to.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care now.